welcome to Crossroads in our series Off the Grid. You know, one of the more unique things God's been doing at Crossroads is through camps. Through the I'm In campaign, we were able to purchase a bunch of acreage, and a number of times a year, a bunch of us get out in the wilderness, off the grid, to connect with God and connect with each other in a way that we just can't when we're around our stereos, our electronic devices, our HVAC, all that kind of stuff. Those things were all wonderful, but they're really inventions over the last 200 years, and nobody had those things over the last 200 years or electronics until the last really 20 years. Something happens, something primal inside of us happens when we are around other people and we talk and we connect with God in nature. Now we're going to look at woman camp today, and man, you might be a woman, might say, man, I don't camp, I've never been in woman camp. I understand. That's like the women you're going to see here today. They were not campers for the most part, never had been to woman camp. You're going to get a good sense of what woman camp is and maybe why it would be a great spiritual step and relational step for you. And if you're a man, you might be going, I'm definitely never going to go to woman camp, and what am I going to, I know, you're probably never going to go to woman camp if you're a man. You will never go to woman camp if you're a man. But here's one thing I do know. I mean, women are probably pretty important to you. You probably got a woman in your life or would like to have a woman in your life, and you might actually learn something about women today. Shocker. Yes, you may. I don't care who you are. You're going to get a lot out of today because God wants to do something in you. And we're going to see God doing something in these women in the areas of identity. Who am I? Freedom. How can I be who I'm supposed to be? And whether you're male or female, these are themes that all of us wrestle with. Let's get started.
I thought what we could do first, I just wanted to thank you all for saying yes. It is a huge deal to not only just say yes to woman camp. Juanita is the only other person besides me that has experienced it, but to something you don't know anything about, but us learning how to work together, even though we may not know each other very well, and just be open to the possibilities of what God has for us, which is super exciting. So thank you for saying yes.
My name is Allie. I am a fifth year at UC.
I'm Pip. I've been friends with Susanna for a very long time, and my reason for saying yes is she asks me to do it. Basically, I have had no relationship with God at all my whole life. I wasn't raised with religion. I definitely believe in God. I just don't know how to have a relationship with God.
I'm Juanita. I'm a mom. Four children, three grandchildren. I'm looking forward to getting to know you better.
I work for Delta Airlines. So I'm a single mom of two young men, 23, 26.
Well, my name is Ashley. I kind of like struggle with finding myself and kind of like finding God. I'm 23, I'm a senior in college, and yeah, I guess that's a little bit about myself, and I'm just trying to find my faith.
I am married and I have two kids who are small, so 8 and 9, which is as crazy as that sounds. And I work full time.
I'm Cassie. I am 32, I've been married for 2 years, and we just had our first little one in June.
I said yes because I wanted time away from my kid, which felt awful.
Pip, let's be
That's
careful.
Got bread.
Oh, it does. Okay, who's next?
Awesome.
All right, I'll keep it up here so it'll stay.
Thank you.
Sure. Is that it?
I think so.
All right, let's do it.
Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glad to be taking a break from the grind of the clock and schedules. It's like you never really appreciate checking out until you check out.
It's like my mom didn't have the opportunity to finish college because she had to make the selfless decision to raise kids.
Right.
And then I didn't meet my biological father until I was 18, and I've only met him 3 times now.
The only people in Neville this morning are woman campers.
So it's just past this cemetery down on the right.
I'm all
about it.
Yes.
Thanks, all about it. I can't wait.
We are here on about 430 acres of Crossroads Base Camp land in Neville, Ohio. And one of the things that's really cool about this land is that it is just north of the Ohio River. And historically, slaves came to freedom, crossed the river, and probably crossed this land. So we feel really great being here because that's the whole reason why we do Woman Camp. We want women to come to freedom.
Ooh, we made it.
Put it on.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Wait. If anybody counts calories,
oh, I love that.
Calories don't count at Woman Camp.
I don't know if you wrote up right.
This is to be a turbocharged event where women come in one place and they leave in another. So we want to give women an opportunity to have huge amounts of growth in a short amount of time. We're at camp to learn a foundational truth, which is that we are first and foremost defined not by what we do for a living or for a wife or a mother or our careers, but that we are first and foremost daughters of God. So it's almost like the experience sets that up perfectly because everything else is stripped away and we start from that. Of course, there are women who are campers and they are ready to go. They have all the gear, but it causes a lot of anxiety for women.
When they said that we were gonna camp, I have no camping equipment. And then I look online and it's pretty expensive.
And while they may not voice it, they know that they're gonna have to be vulnerable, that they maybe have to share something. That's a barrier. Like, I might have to get real.
But that actually puts you in a place to be able to receive.
We're joking about like campers and non-campers, but like let's be real, like it is like way beyond that. It's the older generation with like the super young generation. It is.
It's like what you see right here, black and white,
it's,
all
it's
kinds of colors.
It's black and white.
What? Do black people do that?
Now
they do.
Now we do.
Yes. Now we camp. That's what I'm talking about. Now we camp.
Oh, right here, guys. This is it. This is it. Woo! We made it.
Yes.
These are field guides. This is what you're gonna kind of carry with you during solitude time, stuff like that. The idea is that they fit in a pocket or in your waistband and just kind of have it with you. These are your special gift. These are your, like, I call them gaiters, but you know, those, like, neck.
Bandana?
Bandana, yeah.
Leading up to coming here, I think I want to say I felt a little nervous. I don't necessarily have a relationship with God, and that's just due to a lot of my own personal lack of like faith and trust. So coming here, you know, I knew I would be surrounded by a lot of women who do believe in God and who are very, you know, faithful and things like that. So I was kind of intimidated to come. I was terrified of being vulnerable.
So my religious background is nothing. I was not raised with religion. My dad was Jewish, my mom was Christian, and really our Sunday church or Sunday school was doing yard work. But I always had a sense of faith and spirituality on my own.
I've been friends with Kip for 25 years. I think part of me, even though I came to a faith later in life, I think there's always a little bit of doubt that God's gonna be able to do something that big. And you want something so desperately for your friends, you just don't know if it's possible.
In coming to Woman Camp, I tried to not have any expectations. Me not knowing a lot of religious stuff or backgrounds, I just didn't know if I was going to be lost. So I've always felt a little out of place. Even coming here, I thought, I might be the black sheep of this place, not knowing anything.
Last but not least are the stakes. All right, so no special technique. You can just put them in and step on them.
But I'm aware enough and I'm curious enough to still want to come. I'm not afraid of it.
Hello, Woman Camp 4! We are so honored to have you all here. My name's Latasha. Just by a screen, if you have been here, if this is your second Woman Camp, just make some noise real quick. Wave your hands so I can see them. Wave your hands, make some noise. Who is brand new to Woman Camp? Raise your hand and make some noise. Are you? Man, my good friend Lynn wants to tell you a couple more things.
Welcome to Woman Camp, yes? It's one of the most awesome ways that we get to pray is through song. And so we're gonna sing to our dad, we are going to worship him, and we're gonna agree with who he says we are, yes? Yes.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who
I am. In the tent, I was very aware of one of the girls I'm in this group with, who I've just met. But she had a very close friend who just recently died, and I had my brother who died, and I could tell she was getting really emotional about it. So I was very aware of her and making sure that she was knowing that, you know, we were there and he was there. I became very emotional, and I don't know why. And it might be because I'm so ready, and I'm so ready to understand and to feel it, that I was maybe overcome with a little bit of fear, like it might be too much, it's powerful, and also ready to give up a lot of barriers. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just take this time and I'll have some alone time. I'm not put off by the praise the Lord and the, you know, the people who raise their hand and sing out loud and sing. I actually have learned to really appreciate it and love it. And they are believing in what they're singing with all their heart. And that's amazing to me. I just don't know that feeling. Or that kind of love. I mean, I have kids, so I have that kind of love, but I don't know that bigger kind of the love for God or love for Jesus. I was thinking, how does everybody just believe? I was having a hard time grasping this life of having God in this life. I just could not figure out how everybody had such a strong belief that God was their father, God was their protector.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am.
I was super emotional in the tent. At that moment, I really felt like the love that I've been deprived of a lot lately. I was feeling it, you know? The fact that like all those women were in that room and everybody was just there like cheering each other on and holding each other's hands. It felt really good because I don't get a lot of love sometimes. At least the love that I feel that I deserve, you know. And a lot of that has to do with my lack of faith. I go looking for love in the wrong places, and I've never taken the time to actually give God the opportunity to love me. I think it was definitely God's love. I know there's a God, and I know there's some higher spirit. I believe that. I just don't always trust it. But in the tent, I was feeling in a way intimidated, and I was feeling in a way lost. I wasn't in a receiving position. I was standoffish. And then I don't know what it was. It was just, I was literally putting so much energy into fighting and holding back my tears. All the BS that I've been through, I don't cry a lot. You know, I get emotional, but the tears that came out in that tent were just long overdue. And I like slowly went from like this to receiving, you know?
Guys, it is always wonderful to be together, really, and wonderful to hear your voices raised to your dad. But I know that for some of us in here, the concept of God as our father is totally foreign. Maybe you've only ever known him as a dictator or the guy who's judging you, or maybe as the creator of the universe who's high and holy and far away. And maybe for some of us, even the word father is really painful because we've had dads who have broken our hearts. But this weekend, we're going to meet the creator of the universe who calls himself your true father and who calls you a beloved daughter. I believe that you are here for a purpose and that God, your true father, has promised to meet you here. Receiving your identity as daughters leads to life.
As women, we wear veils. We wear our roles as mothers, our careers, we wear our bodies. We take on what the world tells us about, like, being sexy and smart and strong, oh, but soft, always being skinny. All these things that we have to be, those are all veils. And we have a God and a dad who is in the business of unveiling women. He does not want women to be hidden. He doesn't want us to be hidden from each other. He doesn't want us to be hidden from him, or honestly, from ourselves. And so we use literal veils as a way for women to realize that they wear spiritual or emotional veils, and then we ask God to unveil us. And so there's something in the physical act. Throughout the entire camp, we hike in for a purpose so that you can learn something spiritually. We wear veils, actual veils, for a purpose so that when we take them off, we can really feel free, and so that we can name those veils. And the other thing we do is that we burn them and we say, that's it, we're done believing this about ourselves. We want to walk in freedom.
Okay, so we're going to spend the next hour in solitude. That's where we're going next. Make sure to have your guide with you and a pen, because after the bonfire, we're going to go into the woods. We're going to spend some time listening to God tell us who we really are.
I am beyond out of my comfort zone right now. So, I mean, I think because I'm not in the woods alone, I think I have you guys and experienced campers, I feel more comfortable. So, like, if there was an animal that came, I would know what to do.
I'm going to tell you the worst thing we're going to see out here. There may be a snake here and there.
See, I thought I saw something with a lot of hair going by when I was peeing, and I was like...
Really?
Raccoon, maybe?
Cat? It could be a cat.
Well, it's a big cat then. Real big cat. There's a lot of hair. Like, I thought I was like, are there horses?
Does anybody want to share or feel like sharing? There's no pressure. Their veil experience? I'm willing to go first. I was sitting there when they were asking us the question about what's your veil, you know, and I'm sitting there going, I feel pretty good. Like, I think I'm in a good spot. You know, I started thinking about it and I was like, okay, dig a little bit deeper. So I was like, all right, I just think it's control, meaning like I want to control things. I've been a little impatient with waiting to see what God's going to do next. I've been a little bitchy at my husband because I'm trying to move things along at my pace. Like, I noticed I was doing that the other night. I was just kind of, which I didn't need to be that way, but I could feel that I was doing that.
My veil experience was almost too big for me. And I think when I was in the tent, I felt glad to be there, but very lost. Very open, you know. I kind of feel like I'm this when I lived in Utah, and then I'm this person when I live in Cincinnati. And so I always felt like I was hiding behind something, maybe just being who I thought I was supposed to be at the time.
So when I came out of the tent and Susanna came right up to me, so she knows me very well, and she's totally safe for me. And she says certain things, like she'll say something and I'll go, well, what makes you think that? And she's like, I just feel it. I just believe it.
And then I threw in the veil, which I was like, all right, it's so big. So I just threw in, like, this is so big, you're just gonna have to pick. And then I walked down, and there were a lot of words like worship or you're the light, you're the daughter, whatever it was. I was like, okay, no, no. Like, it just wasn't feeling it. And I'm like, ugh. And then I looked up, and there was this word forgiven. And I like, whoa, started totally crying, thinking, all right, you know, I can be forgiven for, you know, my brother died, and there's a lot of regret for that, and there's no way, you know, he's gone, so I can't amend that, but forgiven for what I didn't do when he was here. So I needed to give myself some forgiveness for, you know, not saying stuff for my brother when he died. There's a lot of regret. And you have to be forgiven for that because I didn't know. And forgiven for, I just had this overwhelming emotion that I was forgiven by him. And it was very strong that it was being forgiven by him. I want to live a life that I don't look back and regret I didn't do something. So I don't want to not tell somebody the big, powerful feelings I'm feeling because I'd regret it if I didn't.
My veiling experience was overwhelming. The veils that came to mind were self-worth, fear of failure. It was everything that I've been feeling for a long time. It was not just one thing, it was so many things. And because I don't talk to God, because I don't have a relationship with God, everything that I was feeling came out at once, you know? And so that veil has been so heavy for so long that I haven't been strong enough to literally throw it. And I needed help. So I finally took it off. I sat at the fire for a hot second, and I finally just found the strength, or the strength found me, and I threw it in the fire. It felt good. It felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. It felt like just I could breathe. I didn't have to worry about it because someone else was worrying about it for me, you know? And I felt good. During solitude, I wrote my emotions out, and I came down to look at the mirrors, and I stumbled upon worthy, confident. And then I stumbled on my way out. I was so ready to leave, and I turned around and looked back one last time. And I don't know how I passed it on my way in, because it was like the first one, but I turned around and I saw healed. I thought I was healed. I thought I took care of it myself. I just acted as if life was good. This time last year, I was actually pregnant. And because of what I was going through, I didn't keep the pregnancy. And so for me, I thought I'd moved on from that, but I haven't. And you know, we've been hurt before. We can move on from things like that, but a life that hurt. So.
Do you feel like God is healing that right now?
Yeah. I feel like he, I'm actually 2 months pregnant right now, so. But it's just crazy how God will truly test you, because this time last year, I was a wreck. I was a mess. I wasn't strong enough to make that decision for myself. I'm not perfect, but I think that I'm ready to try to, you know, I'm ready to not just give up. I'm scared, but I'm excited.
I'm we believed also for women that we wanted to gift them something. For us, we do a feast where we have a huge tent set up and tables, and it's like an outdoor wedding feast. A platter of food and wine and tablecloths and candles, laughter and singing, because we want this to be an experience where you feel completely that our God has something so lavish and abundant.
It's disruptive to your senses. To walk in and see that is just disruptive. It takes your breath away. It's yes. Quite lovely. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
It's a physical expression of a spiritual reality.
Yes.
It's crazy that we do it. Like, it's kind of impossible to put on a feast in the middle of the woods when you're camping, but that's how much our dad loves us. It is his heart for us that we have a place at the table, yes. that he's prepared a feast yes. for us, that yes. we will be served, that we are loved, that we are known, that we are lavished upon. So it's there's a lot spiritually that happens because of the physical.
All right, cheers.
So tomorrow morning, we got some goodness happening, and I'm going to tell you about that. Yes. So some of us came to camp, and somebody just said, come to camp, and we're like, okay, whatever. Some of us don't even know what Crossroads is, right? You got here like, a church? What? Right? Some of us were like, and people were talking about Jesus and being saved. I don't even understand what that means, right? And then you got here, and you felt something. And so if you have never been baptized, and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, now's the time. Tomorrow morning is the time. When you go under that water, you're dying to yourself. You're saying, I am no longer on the throne. When you come up out of that water, you're saying, my dad's on the throne. My Lord and Savior is on the throne, and I will follow him as best I can. We are going to have baptism celebrations tomorrow morning. Yes, we are.
All right, this is going down. We need to
Kip, you start.
Poke it.
What's your question?
Oh, God.
How's everybody feeling, right? Actually, I'll let you pick. I'm going to hand it to you.
Thank you. What's your thing?
I mean, what's the most ridiculous thing you've ever done?
What? That's a great question.
Here, I'll switch with you.
Nope, no switching.
Girl, I feel like we got stories.
Oh,
I'm so happy I'm on that quest.
Me too. I mean, can it involve sex? No, just kidding. Just kidding. I mean, this is pretty ridiculous. So I had this boyfriend in college, and they were all going to like a strip club or something. I don't know. So my friend Wendy and I were like, well, we're going to dress up as guys, and we're going to go to the strip club.
Stop.
So we like, you know, strapped him down and like put on a baseball cap and like tried to look like boys. And we walked in the door and the guy was like, hey, ladies. That was pretty ridiculous.
Well, I worked.
You know what?
That is like
perfect.
That is perfect.
I ate it. Oh my gosh, she literally was like,
I know.
That's a good marshmallow.
Okay. What did you burn in the fire today? And in other words, what did your bell represent just in case you were about to say wood? Ha! Who wrote these? I'll say I burned burdens that I was carrying for myself that I didn't have to carry, that God could have carried for me if I allowed him to. So that's what I burned, and it felt good.
Yeah. Does anybody have anything, I don't know, that they're still processing or want to talk through or kind of bounce things off the group? This is a place, a safe place to be able to talk about it.
I guess like sometimes I don't know what to pray for. I don't even know how to even begin to have a conversation with someone, you know what I mean? Like, if you like a boy, but you're nervous to ask him out. Like, I love Jesus, but like, I'm scared to ask him out. So like, how do you like go up to someone and like talk to him?
I know for me, my experience, I never prayed, you know, new to a faith in my mid 30s. And I was like, I don't even know if this stuff works. And I remember it was just a conversation. I remember like being on my bed with Street, and he was my firstborn. He was a toddler, and I was so frustrated. But I remember literally just being like, all right, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to start talking. How about you? How are you doing? Processing anything? Do you want to bounce anything off of us? Or
like when the veil thing happened, I was overwhelmed with how big it was. I'm like, I can't go that big. I can't believe that big. I can't give it up that big. And I've decided it's not that big. Wow. I mean, it's still big. She's like, oh my God, is this our moment? It's not what I meant. Settle down. I meant I still think it's huge, but it just isn't like, I don't have to ask. I don't have to like figure out all of that so much right now today. Like, I'm searching for answers, but I don't have to have like the big ones answered.
When women get baptized, like the way I think about it is, it's me saying, no longer am I wanting to be in control of my life. I'm taking my hands off of the steering wheel. I'm taking myself off of the throne. You have the best for me. You want the best for me. And so that's what I want. I want you on the throne of my life. And so when folks get baptized, they say, hey, I'm dying to myself and raising up into a new life with you.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I welcome you into my heart.
I welcome you into my heart.
And empower me.
And empower me.
To live my life.
To live my life.
With Jesus.
With Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Allowing myself to be vulnerable enough to like get baptized allowed Jesus to come into my life, and I was like, yeah, like I'm ready. And I was like, oh my God, this is really happening. And they were like, are you ready? And I was like, why not? Like, I don't know what's stopping me, so. The support that when they all came and like rushed up to me when I came out of the water, I think that was the highest point for me.
We're standing around the lake and I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I want Kip to experience this so desperately. And I turn around and I look up and I run up the hill and there's like something happening already. And so just running up to her and really processing that through with her, it's hard to describe when somebody's willing to just really surrender and say, I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I trust you and I'm gonna do this.
One thing I'm walking away with is that there's 1,200 people here and I have met, let's say, besides my camp, 5 people. And I don't think there's an accident that I met those 5 people. And some of them are behind the scenes like you guys. But then what has come from that is like, before I came here, I was like, how do you be with 1,200 women? And it seems so big. And after being here, it's not big at all. It's really small. So for me, it was a very specific trip. It wasn't just to come out here and unplug. And I didn't know at the time, but it all sort of came together right at the end, which I'm just thinking about this second. There's a purpose that I'm here, and I feel proud, which is awesome.
definitely feel honored.
When you have experienced freedom, there is nothing you will not do to share that with other women. So we have been given the greatest gift of freedom through knowing who we are as God's daughters, and that is what we want. So I would do anything so that women could experience this kind of freedom that I have and experience what it feels like to be loved by a God who is their father.
So I don't have a lot of the whole big religious spiritual words, but I feel it, and I might say it differently, but I have definitely felt like there was no mistake that this weekend was for me. Really for me to recognize that my purpose is bigger.
I came with burdens. I came with aggravation and I was tired, and I came with brokenness. And I'm leaving chains broken. I'm leaving free, I guess.